Well, let me share with you then tonight the second part of yielding personal rights. We were, and here's an interesting photo, a little shocking to begin with. Yielding personal rights. Tonight I want to emphasize relating personal rights to levels of conflict. Holding on to your personal rights will end up causing conflicts, but it's not all of one kind. There are different levels of conflict, and we should be aware of that. In order to determine what personal rights you are claiming during home conflicts, be aware that there are four possible levels of conflicts. If you help someone yield a surface right, but neglect the root right involved, you will give only a temporary solution. A young lady, here's an example, a young lady reported, "I got a phone call from my girlfriend. We were talking about two guys. My mother was listening on the extension, and at the supper table, she repeated what I had said on the phone. I asked her if she had been listening. She said she had. I said she had no right to listen in on my conversations. She said she has a right to listen because she pays the bills and she's the boss. So I got mad, called her sneaky, told her she wasn't an understanding person. We really told one another what we thought. For 2 days, things were strained, and then all of a sudden we both forgot it, but now I don't trust her, and vice versa." Well, let's go into this and see the four levels here. Examining the levels of conflict. We're going to divide this by, on the left, the levels of conflict, then analyze what the conflict was, and then on the right, we'll look at the person's rights involved. The first we look at here is the surface problem. That's the level, surface problem. The conflict is open hostility. And this is the mother listening in on the phone conversation. The person's right involved is the right to have privacy on the phone. And that was the girl's claim to personal right. So that's the surface problem, but we can go lower than that and see the surface cause. The surface cause is distrust. Why was the mother listening? Mother's distrust of the daughter. And this in the face of the girl's perceived right to make personal decisions apart from parents. I make my own decisions. Now, below the surface is the root. Let's look first of all at the root problem. The root problem here is at least perceived moral impurity. This is the conflict. The mother is seeing the young person make a wrong choice of friends and have unwholesome dating habits, while she's holding on to the personal right to date the boy she chooses, the right to satisfy self. Now, that actually comes back down to the root cause, which is resisting the grace of God. Because as a Christian, you have the grace of God to conquer all these problems. The young person is failing to yield herself to the total disciplines of Christ. She's not opening herself to the flow of God's grace, which enables her to overcome. And she's holding on to the right to resist the grace of God. The root sins are the lack of grace, resisting the grace of God. And this shows up in the three root sins of immorality, of bitterness, holding on to bitterness, and then of having a profane lifestyle where you choose the things of the world, things of the flesh, over the things of God. Now, when we get to the place where we have a handle on, I was talking to President Dennis today and used this study as an example of what what he's going through. And I said, because he had mentioned this, that they had given up any sense that they had a personal right to Liliana. They were giving her home from the hospital with a letter saying she was going to die. So in the most plain words, they gave her to the Lord right then and there. So this is not them saying to God, "You don't dare take my daughter." This is, "Thank you, God, for lending her to us every day. She will die like everybody dies, maybe sooner than others, but not because they were lacking in responsibility." That reminded me of this. So three things, three results of yielding personal rights. When you get into this thing and you find yourself angry, ask yourself, why am I angry? I'm angry because that person violated my personal right to what? Well, then, what needs to happen here is for you to recognize you are not your own. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have, literally, no personal rights. You have openly sold yourself to Him, and He bought you by the cost of His own blood. Now, if He gives you those privileges, you thank Him for it. Well, as long as you're holding on to your personal rights, you don't thank Him for these things. I expected it. It's my right. So get rid of those things. Now, as you do this, expect God to test His rights. You said you're giving me that right. Let's see if you mean it. In my personal life, when I've done this, I've made a vow to God or I've given up a personal right or something, I found that within 2 weeks, I had been tested. And very often, I wasn't expecting it, though I'm telling you, and I should have expected it. So, and when that happens, you most often fail. And God is saying, you see, you got to mean this, you know. So when you yield a claimed personal right to God, expect that He will allow a situation to develop that withholds this right from you. If you become angry when this happens, recognize you did not completely yield those rights. Now there's another point here, and that is if you're getting angry after you gave up the right, you may be angry over a different right. Your anger may also reveal related rights you had not identified before and therefore had not given up. If you have to analyze your feelings, you say, well, I wasn't so angry about that right. I had given that up. But it was this other one that's sort of linked together. So you can use your anger to identify a new or a different personal right that you need to give to the Lord. But expect this. Expect Him to test that. Recognize that even as you give it to Him, that this might be tested. The second result is learn to develop inward qualities through the loss of rights. All right, it doesn't feel good to lose your rights. The stories we were telling about sister using clothes without asking and all this stuff, treating them badly. The thing is, it makes you feel bad. But that in itself is not a problem. If you read the Psalms, almost all the Psalms begin with the psalmist complaining about something. By the end of the psalm, he's satisfied. The thing's resolved. He's okay with God. So learn to develop inward qualities through the loss of your rights. Here's what I'm saying. Your deep inward feelings, sorrow, anger, loss, that come when someone withholds your personal rights, those deep feelings provide an excellent motivation for you to identify personally with Scripture. You can link yourself to Scripture, and often the Psalms. I've told you about a technique I've used when I'm feeling upset, and I just kind of leaf through the Psalms. I'm not doing this intelligently. I'm just randomly flipping through the Psalms. And when I read the first verse or two, I'm asking myself, is that how I feel today? Is that how I'm coming to God? And then one of them will be, you know, very close, considering it was written all those hundreds of years ago, comes very close. So then I begin turning all those statements into my prayer to God. I read over the verse, think it through, and then I say it to God in my own way and emphasizing my own situation. But then I read the next verse, and I pray that to God, and the next verse, and it takes me on the way through. And as I say, it gets resolved by the time you're done, and it actually changed the way I feel about things. But it provides excellent motivation. Why do we change? And isn't change what we're all about now? Isn't this process of sanctification changing you from what you were to what you ought to be? That's it. This is what God is doing with you right now, working a change in you. What is the motivation for change? The motivation is, I don't like the way it is right now. Time to change. And so the deep, inward, sad, angry, unrest feelings become an excellent motivation. So if God withholds a right from you after you yielded it to him, expect that he will give you a corresponding insight into his word. Here's the thing that you are looking for, because you're giving up something of this life, of this world, but you're gaining more of him, more of the way he wants it for you. You're gaining more of his understanding, more insight into how he thinks. Now, you do this not in some trans-mythical way, but by connecting what he says in the Scripture to your life. So he gives you corresponding insights into his word. And let me share with you these things. In order to gain this insight, you have to first learn what he says about the right he's testing. Now here's several. 6. Testing my right to self. I should be able to do what I want with myself. But Mark 14:36, we find this insight. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Christ talking to his Father. All things are possible with thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. This is talking about his very life and a painful death. So the thing here is, Christ did not claim the right to determine his own life. And that's an ultimate freedom. What if you are testing, he is testing my rights of a dating relationship, a love relationship, a friend relationship? Psalm 73:25 comes to our rescue. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. The question is this then, are you going to turn your back on God to claim this earthly relationship? Makes it clear when you say it that way. And the psalmist got to this point. There's none on earth that I desire besides thee. I don't want anyone besides thee, especially if it's going to take me away from you. So if it takes us away from them, that's okay if we get more of God. We're better off. A third thing is this, testing my right to choose clothing. Surely I'd be able to decide that for myself. Well, actually, Peter deals with this. 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Talking to the women whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, all the outward decorations, you see. He says, don't let that be how you think about adorning yourself, beautifying yourself. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek spirit and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. You see, then you learn the Cinderella principle. She didn't have anything while the stepsisters got everything. She had to do the cleaning. She had to do all the stuff, you know. And she slept over by the cinders. So Ella became known as Cinderella. But it didn't spoil her obedience. She didn't rebel. She didn't run away. And then God rewarded her in the interpretation of the fairy tale. Supernaturally, he came and made her, gave her everything she wanted. Not that she needed it. How about testing my right to have and use money? Why are these people telling me how to use my money? Let's come to Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Not to brag, but just to say an illustration. My daughter said she was sending a check for the Amharic translation trip. And she said, I'm going to be sending one a little bit later because my grandson, Tristan, worked all summer, and he determined that he was going to give all of his earnings for the summer to this trip. So she'll be sending a second check from that. Well, you know, what's going on there is a young man who loves money. I would give him money from time to time, and he would run over to one of the vending machines to get a bubble gum or something, you know, one of those plastic bubbles with little junk toys in it. But he loves money. But what happened is that he turned it in to the love of God. How about testing my right to my possessions? What if you lose possessions? That's not right. Those are mine. Job was tested like that. Job 1:21. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What I had wasn't mine. It was a gift from God. It was on loan from God. I am not going to gripe that he decided to take it back. It's his. That's an amazing freedom. And then the last one I'll share is the testing my right to friends. What if you're told you can't have those friends? See, God withholds that right. Matthew 10:40. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. There is a linking here of these things. Oh, I have a bunch more on the other side of the page. I'm sorry. Not the last one. You stay close to God, and you'll find that the people that your parents are worrying about drop away from you. You're holding to a standard that they don't want to hold to. Well, let me move on. I'm taking too much time. Testing my right to choose my music or some other personal thing. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5, we learn more of God this way. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God, or to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. So powerful you can conquer a city. Casting down imaginations, and this word could refer to reasonings, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, wow, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Testing my right to determine my future. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You don't have to plan and plot and scheme for your future. God's going to provide that. He wants you, in the midst of your work, to focus on his kingdom and his righteousness. What about my right to health? Brother Jeb was saying because of the surgery, he found out that it's not going to be 2 weeks. He was griping about 2 weeks. It's going to be over a month before the actual healing occurs in his nose. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, God said unto me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm not going to remove your thorn in the flesh. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And his response, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. So whatever this is, it's called a weakness here and an infirmity. Something made him not firm. And he says, well, that's okay then. I'll bear that infirmity, that God will be given the honor if anything good comes from me. Last two, testing my right to my reputation. What if people start speaking bad about you? Well, Psalm 23:3, he restoreth my soul. Are you brokenhearted? He can mend that. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So, go lay on his lap. Lay your head on his breast. Tell him these problems. Feel those arms of love about you. And last, testing my right to make my own schedule. You're taking up all my time. I'll make my own schedule. In Matthew 23:11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, technically your slave. You do what is given you to do. All right, then the very third result, expect God to test his rights, learn to develop inward qualities when you are aching with the loss of rights. But thirdly, distinguish between rights and responsibilities. We were talking about this some years back, and a woman came to me afterwards. She said, this is so great. I've been struggling with my weight and all this stuff, and now I say I can just turn it over to the Lord. Well, yeah, your image, how you're built, how God made you. Some people tend toward a weight situation. Others, I know, see eating every bite of every meal and they're thin as a rail. That's a God thing. And let God be God. But don't misinterpret yielding your right as getting rid of your responsibility. In yielding rights, be careful not to yield responsibilities. Couple of examples. A student cannot say, I gave my right to good grades to the Lord, so I'm not going to study so hard anymore. I'll just wait for it to be a miracle. When God sent his people into the promised land, there were battles. And they said, battles? We're not soldiers. He said, you will be. But he said, no, that's all right. All you do is do the fighting. I'll do the winning. The victory will be mine. That's guaranteed. That's why I sent you here. I'm not putting you out there just in case you might win. I will conquer for you. Your responsibility is to do the fighting. That's us, you see. A parent cannot say, I gave my right to discipline my children to the Lord and have stopped correcting them. You have started a wrong path of discipline. And there will be consequences for that. So, concluding words. These are responsibilities given by God and must not be confused with our perceived rights. It'll come up any minute now. There we go. Not to be confused with our perceived rights. You don't give up your responsibilities. God has set that. And that's what President Dennis said about Liliana. We've given her to the Lord, and she may die, but it won't be because of any neglect on our part.